Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
New research into the quality of the air that Dubliners breathe has exposed a big gap between official figures, which say it is by and large good, and this new data, which suggests it is very seriously in excess of what is permissible. The project carried out by Dublin City Council in partnership with Google measured air quality in the capital on a hyper-local level, street-by-street level of detail. Shortly before coming on air, I spoke to the environment correspondent at the Irish Independent, Caroline O'Donnell, and I began by asking her to explain how the survey had been conducted and what it had found.
This research was conducted by Google's Street View vans. Now, we'll be familiar with Google Street View and their Google Maps and the incredible amount of detail that you can find when you look up your local street. They send out the same vans, electric vans, except equipped with air quality sensors. And for literally 16 months, every day, mainly weekdays, mainly during the daytime, the busy times, the vans drove up and down and in and out of pretty much every street within the Dublin City Council boundary area, collecting data, roughly 50 million pieces of air quality sensor information, which they then managed to sort of break down into 50 meter stretches of road. So on any given street, they have different pieces of data for maybe 4, 5, 10, 11 stretches of that one road. So there's a huge amount of what they call hyper-local data. So where you're standing, where you're walking, where your shop is, where your house is, you can check out to see what the air quality is like at that point.
And what is the air quality like?
It varies enormously. You know, there are within one street, now it can be at an area which you can tell is a junction, a road junction where there's a lot of traffic idling. It can be almost continually poor, and that will be traffic fumes. And the thing is, because they went back and forth over the same areas time and again, they calculated an average. So it's not just that was one bad day or one bad rush hour or one bad hold up because of a crash or something. That would be the normal at that area. So you can get areas where it is consistently really bad. And then you can turn a corner into a residential area and it can be consistently quite good. And it's that kind of variation that makes it, A, really interesting because we didn't have that breakdown at local level before, but also very tricky then to produce a sort of an air quality management strategy, because how do you produce regulations that are going to sort of fit all and improve the air quality when some places are doing pretty okay and around the corner they're doing really bad all the time?
Caroline, why is there such a disparity between our official air quality figures, which say that for the most part Ireland's air quality is good, and these figures from Google, which show that it is many times in some places above the acceptable limits?
We have a national network of air quality monitoring stations, but they're quite few and they're very far between. So they're run by the Environmental and Protection Agency mainly, and there's about 113 of them nationally. Now, they're concentrated more in Dublin because of the population being higher there, but they're stationary for a start. So they're not moving around in between small streets and individual housing estates. And they're covering a very wide area. So the information isn't incorrect, but they're generalising a lot of information. So the EPA is actually working on a project where they can kind of model the in-between spaces, because they do accept that we do need much more detailed, localised information if we're going to find out what's happening really at ground level.
Because the figures are really quite shocking. The current levels are many times in some places above what they should be now, and many, many multiples above what the law is going to set them at by 2026. Currently, it's meant to be 40 micrograms per cubic metre. And on the 17th of August, the Clonshock Road was 76 micrograms. East Wall Road, 52 micrograms. Doyle's Corner, 57. Parnell Square, 47. The Nace Road, 65. And by 2026, that level is due to come down from 40 micrograms to 20 micrograms. So this is the direction of travel on what medical science is telling us that we should be exposed to. And currently, we're exposed to several multiples of that.
That's right. And it's due to fall further by 2040 down to 10 micrograms. You know, we've agreed to do that under the National Clean Air Strategy, which the government announced and adopted in April this year. So they've set themselves a heck of a challenge, to be honest. Now, they will say things like, well, we're moving towards electrification of vehicles. We're moving towards electrification of heating. And that will kill with, you know, one stone, the particulate matter which is in the air and the nitrogen dioxide that you've met, the measurements of which you've mentioned there. But those are policies and strategies that obviously are taking a long time to bed in. And this first target of basically halving the nitrogen dioxide in the air is coming up very fast in 2026. So I think the chances of us, of many areas meeting that target are very slim.
How scientifically robust is this data? Because there's such a huge discrepancy between it and the official figures. Some people are going to question it.
Yes, and I questioned it too because I heard Google and I said, well, I don't go to Google for scientific data, do I? But in this case, you can read up on the science that behind it and the technology that they've used. They've used it in six other cities and I checked with three different scientists from different organisations, public and private, and they say they're happy with it. It's yes, it's a little unconventional. It's not the way they will collect air quality data, but they've looked into it and they say it's robust.
And really, it suggests that the only solution to this is that you either reduce the number of vehicles going through these city central areas drastically, or you accelerate the pace of transition to electric vehicles much more drastically, because there isn't really any other way of doing this, is there?
Well, it seems that both those measures will have to be taken. Yes, there is a move towards electrification, and that's happening, although it's happening slowly. And it's going to be difficult with the likes of heavy goods vehicles. It's much harder to electrify those. There's also the very thorny issue of, you know, just getting cars out of residential areas or as areas where people are, if you like. So the likes of low emission zones or car-free zones, you know, they're very controversial every time they come up. But it does look like if you're going to go all out and try and improve the air quality to the standards that we've agreed we're going to accept, that those kind of measures will have to be considered more closely and more quickly.
Presumably, there is a climate dividend as well as a health dividend if you were to be able to pull that off.
Well, that's what all the scientists are saying. You know, this works both ways. In the climate policies, in other words, get rid of fossil fuels, also work from an air quality point of view, because it's the fossil fuels, it's the burning of the fossil fuels, be it by vehicles or be it by home heating or be it by industrial processes, that's causing the air pollution. So, you know, you can get rid of both. You can get rid of the air pollution and you can get rid of the carbon pollution. So the policies work on for both aims.
You said that Google have presented this data for 50-metre stretches of road. If anybody's interested, are they able to go and find their stretch of road and see how polluted it is?
They can, absolutely. There's a link in today's Irish Independent. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't work on mobile. It's so dense, it's so data-rich that it doesn't work on mobile phones yet. So if you have access to a laptop or maybe a larger a tablet, you can go on and actually look up your own area.
Caroline O'Doherty, Environment Correspondent of the Irish Independent. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.